Hello, good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. This is Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. It is Tuesday, May 24th, and we are analyzing, as always, the Green Bay Packers. Just got report here from Adam Schefter of ESPN that the NFL Rookie Symposium has officially been canceled. I wrote on Twitter, I suppose it's worth noting that at this time, in a normal year, OTAs would be underway right now. This is officially, the NFL Rookie Symposium, that's coming from an NFL standpoint. You know, all the Packers draft choices would be attending that. But from a Packers standpoint, we've already had the post-draft rookie orientation camp canceled. We've had the, off-season workout program canceled. And now the beginning of OTAs have been canceled. So that's where we're at right here now in the NFL. Everything being canceled. Everything making the Packers a worse team than they probably would be otherwise without all the practice time. Without, this time together to bond, to mesh, to come together. But anyway, on tap for today, we have Chad Toporski of AllGreenBayPackers.com coming on the show at the bottom of the hour, 8:30, to talk a little bit about their blog over there at AllGreenBayPackers.com and talking about football in general. So glad to have Chad on the show today. And this is kind of the beginning a little bit of a feature we're rolling out here on Railbird Central that I'm excited for over the next coming weeks, months, for as long as Railbird Central is in existence. I'm trying to get more bloggers involved, trying to get people from across the blogosphere on the show, talking football, just getting people involved, just having people talking football. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with guys talking football? We need more of that. So, we're rolling out here over the next 2 weeks here. All sorts of guests from one of my favorite Packers blogs, AllGreenBayPackers.com. So, Chad joining us today. We've got Jersey Al himself, Al Bracco, joining us, I believe, on Friday. Adam Check, Thomas Hobbs joining us in the future. I made contact with Monty McMahon of TotalPackers.com. So we're going to have him on sometime in the future. And just having all sorts of guests here coming on in over the next several weeks or so. But let's get down to it here. Today, at the top of the live blog, if you scroll up, I've left a link to this morning's Packers Daily link, so let's take a look at what's in the news today. If you click that link, it'll take you to a screen that looks a little something like this. And our top story today, our top link, if you click this link that says Brandon Jackson, it'll take you to the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and reporter Kareem Copeland spoke with free agent running back Brandon Jackson yesterday, and they talked about a lot of things. They talked about the NFL lockout, and Jackson says he doesn't pay too much attention to it. He's kind of looking forward to the June 3rd meeting in court because he knows, that progress will be made at that point for good or bad from a player standpoint, but progress will be made at that point. And then hopefully some negotiations coming after that toward a new collective bargaining agreement. But, some of the more interesting stuff coming a little bit lower down in the article here that I wanted to share with you and that I shared in the Daily Links. Some thoughts from Brandon Jackson. He said, quote, "I'm a competitor. I love to compete. It didn't surprise me one bit, to tell the truth. when they got a running back in the third round, I already knew what the word was. Brandon Jackson is out the way now. All that stuff. You hear the talk. There's no way you can't hear the talk when it's about you. So they talk about him being a good third guy, third down guy and all that. So, Brandon Jackson, not surprised that the Packers spent a draft choice on a running back and, you know, kind of feels that, you know, he's on his way out, as he says. Doesn't feel as if he's part of the Packers' plans going forward. Hard to blame him. I mean, I would probably feel the same way if I were in Brandon Jackson's shoes. I mean, you do the best you can. I mean, if I'm Brandon Jackson and I'm an unrestricted free agent, which, as we know by now, that's as of yet undetermined what kind of free agent he'll be. But if he's unrestricted, you know, I would go somewhere. I would look at my chances out there, see who's interested, see what kind of role they want to look at me at. If they, you know, if there's a chance to play more in another spot, I would look at it if I was Brandon Jackson. Now, I wouldn't shut the door on the Packers by any means. We've talked about many times on this show how he's a, you know, it is the best thing he does is pass protection. But he's also become a pretty good pass receiver as well. 43 receptions this past season. Does a pretty good job on screens, catching screens, running screen passes. You know, he does good as an outlet for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he has his worth. And it's not like, you know, a worst-case scenario. He has experience, too, as a featured back. I don't think you want him as a featured back in your offense. You know, I think Ryan Grant and James Starks right now are better options. But that's not to say Brandon Jackson doesn't have worth. But, so, he's not surprised they spent a draft choice on Alex Green out of the University of Hawaii in the third down. And probably a little bit even more so interesting here, Jackson goes on to say, quote, "I view myself as more than a third down guy. If Green Bay only views me as a third down back, that's how they view me. But I don't only see myself as a third down back. If that's how other guys want to label me, then oh well. I love third down and I'll do it, but I'm more than just a third down back." So, I mean, that kind of, you know, signals that Brandon Jackson, you know, if I had to place my bet right now, I would bet he wouldn't be back in Green Bay. I mean, again, subject to the whole collective bargaining going on here. I mean, it's really unseen. I mean, he could be, depending on the CBA, a restricted free agent, and he'll really have no choice but it being, but coming back to the Green Bay Packers. You know, but if he happens to be unrestricted, he may test the waters. What poll do I see? What kind of shaving cream does Brian use? Does anybody really find that interesting? What kind of shaving cream? I think this just amuses Alex for one. Jamie's Brian's always talking about betting. I guess I do talk about that a lot, huh? From my tweets on horse racing to betting odds on the Green Bay Packers and the wild prop bets that I get sometimes from, what service is that? BetUS or Bodog. Bodog always sends me the wild prop bets. Alex, it does amuse me. Well, I'm glad I'm around here for your amusement. In other Green Bay Packers news today, other than Brandon Jackson news, going back to today's Packers Daily Links, if we scroll down a little bit, we see our second story today is on punter Tim Maste, and he talked to Fox 11 News in Green Bay, the local Fox affiliate, Channel 11, and spoke about his former college teammate and now current teammate with the Green Bay Packers from the University of Kentucky, second-round draft choice, wide receiver Randall Cobb, and return specialist. So if you click this link, it'll take you to WLUK's website, fox11online.com. And, Mast A shared a couple things. And, I thought the reporter here, Justin Felder, provided one little interesting nugget about how Tim Mast A is helping out Randall Cobb. It said, Mast A gave the receiver some tips about returning punts in the NFL, including styles of kicks NFL punters like to use and nuances in the rules governing punt coverage units. He also told Cobb to get ready for Packer fans. So, yeah, I mean, here you go. I mean, you're talking about informal workouts here, and everybody's kind of, worried that perhaps Aaron Rodgers and the wide receivers aren't getting together. The whole team isn't getting together as a whole. But here we have, Tim Mast A working with Randall Cobb, who's pretty much expected to be, the return specialist for the Packers this upcoming season, barring injury or something like that. Here he is, going over the nuances of, punting in the NFL, the punting game. Mast A is known for, not only being able to do your, classical NFL punt, but the Aussie style as well. So, and these two have worked out. So they've tweeted on Twitter that they've gotten together, I believe, in Kentucky. And Cobb has returned punts from Mast A. And getting him used to different styles, the Aussie style, as well as your traditional NFL punting action. I suppose perhaps going over coffin corner punting as well. But Tim Mast A and Mason Crosby, as they allude to in the article, have been working out at St. Norbert College in De Pere, which is right next to Green Bay. For those of you who are not from the area, De Pere being a suburb of Green Bay, I guess you could say. But yeah, so while the lockout goes on, while we are in the off-season portion of the year, Mast A and Crosby working out on St. Norbert College's field. St. Norbert has a Division III football team here in Wisconsin. So, interesting stuff that we're hearing out of Green Bay. I thought I could share this. I've been talking to a friend of Railbird Central, a guest we've had on in the past, from the University of Kentucky, J.J. Housley. He is going to join us on Railbird Central here. I don't have a firm date, but sometime in the future here, he's going to join us and talk about Randall Cobb. We talked to J.J. Housley during the football season. He was a kicker at the University of Kentucky. He was a teammate of Tim Mast A's and actually a roommate of Tim Mast A's in college. So we got to ask him quite a bit about Tim. And J.J. had been writing for a University of Kentucky website that followed the football team. And so we get to pick his brain a little bit about Kentucky football. And he's going to join us again here in the next couple days or so and tell us about Randall Cobb a little bit, seeing as he was a teammate of his. And being appropriate that, of course, news coming out that Tim Mast A, or I'm sorry, Randall Cobb, was a holder in college, place kick holder. We'll find out how he does that coming from the kicker himself. So look forward to that in the upcoming episodes of Railbird Central here on Cheesehead TV. In other news today, if we go back to the Packers Daily Links, once again, scrolling down, We have an article at the Packers official website. If you click this link, it'll take you to the Packers.com, an article written by Mike Spofford, a feature article on 7th round draft choice Ryan Taylor, tight end from the University of North Carolina. And, you know, the biggest news coming out of the draft on Ryan Taylor is that this is your special teams guy. This is your guy who is basically drafted because he's going to help you on special teams. He was a special teams captain in college, et cetera, et cetera. Won awards for a special teams play. But, you know, of course he's going to, that's not going to be his only position. You know, when they're not practicing special teams, he's going to be a tight end. And they talked to his position coach in college, a guy named Alan Mogridge. And he kind of shared a little bit about Taylor being a tight end and how much he improved throughout his senior season. And he said, quote, the Music City Bowl. Grab your bowl of popcorn, turn the thing on, and watch it. If you want to get a picture of Ryan Taylor, he was a warrior in that game. And then Mike Spofford had gone on to kind of detail a little bit about Taylor's college career and kind of how he really produced at the end of his senior year when he, you know, started focusing on tight end for one. You've probably heard stories that he played both ways in college, both linebacker and tight end. But also, you know, kind of his senior season kind of focused in on the tight end part, and there was an injury at the position to another player, so his playing time increased as the season went along. And they kind of detail it against North Carolina State, one of North Carolina's rivals. He caught 5 catches for 57 yards. Against Duke, of course, the huge Duke-North Carolina rivalry, their biggest rival, he had 6 catches for 75 yards. And then in the postseason, in the bowl game, in which North Carolina qualified for the Music City Bowl, and they took on Tennessee, which, if you remember that game, it was one hell of a game. It was a double overtime win by North Carolina, by the Tar Heels, and he had 9 receptions for 85 yards in that game. And if I'm correct, if I remember, he hit pay dirt. He scored in that game as well. So, you know, interesting to hear about Ryan Taylor, the draft choice for the Green Bay Packers. You know, I suppose I can share this now, seeing as it didn't happen. I was, speaking of draft choices, I was trying to get 7th round draft choice Lawrence Guy right here on Railbird Central. I was hoping to get him on for Friday's episode, and I talked to his representatives, and and it just didn't work out. He's, you know, he's from Arizona State, so he's still living out on the West Coast, or, you know, in the Western time zone out there. So, you know, our show airing at 8 o'clock a.m. here in the Lambeau time zone. You know, that's 6 a.m. out there. So that just wasn't going to work. And I totally understand that. And, you know, very nice people that I was dealing with Lawrence Guy, and hopefully at some later point, maybe we can get him on Packer Transplants at some future point in time. So, yeah, 6 a.m. I wasn't about to bother a 300-pound defensive lineman at 6 a.m. I wouldn't even want to be the one to call him. I'm trying to go back here, take a look at the live blog we have running. Kurt Kozad comments, what did everyone think about Ray Lewis's comments about crime increasing with no NFL season? That was kind of interesting. You know, what I believe Ray Lewis was an interview with Sal Palantonio of ESPN. And, you know, typical Ray Lewis, just kind of being outspoken. I'm not sure he was actually, thought this through too much, but crime increasing during the NFL season. I just don't see it. I don't think many people do. Perhaps, if anything, there's going to be more crimes committed by football players during the off season rather than the general segment of society without football going on. Oh, Green Bay Slapshot says, well, Ray Lewis is an expert on crime. Yeah, I'm going to drop this subject before I say something I regret. So, I guess I'm not a fan of Ray Lewis. Not that I don't acknowledge that he is a great player, but, you know, I think he doesn't think before he speaks. So, so my 2 cents you're going to get very little of here on Railbird Central. Some interesting pictures here. If we go back to today's Packers Daily Links at PackerReport.com, they had acquired some more pictures of Randall Cobb and Alex Green from this past weekend at the rookie premiere. And perhaps I can share those here on the broadcast portion of the show if you follow along in your broadcast player. They have some pictures of Randall Cobb and Alex Green in a Packers uniform. And as I had explained on the Packers Daily Links, this is an event. Basically, it's not for all rookies. It's just for select rookies and mostly, almost exclusively, skill position players. Just for a chance for them to take pictures for trading cards. For like Upper Deck and Tops and et cetera, et cetera. I'm not much of a card collector anymore. I was when I was young, but I'm kind of out of the loop now. I don't even know who the trading card companies are anymore, if they've changed since my youth. But as we can see here, a picture of Randall Cobb wearing number 18. Gonna have a wide receiver wearing a number in the teens for the Green Bay Packers. Hasn't happened too often. I realize it has happened in the past, but not often. Another picture with Cobb and then Alex Green in the background, in addition to many other NFL rookies, for that matter. Cobb posing for a photo with his helmet, and finally a close-up on Alex Green and his dreads. How do you like that hairstyle there? We got the dreads with the dyed tips, would it be? Of course, you know, a player with dreads will fit in good with the Green Bay Packers. There's so many of them with dreadlocks. Although I suppose the number is decreasing. You know, for a while it was Al Harris who was known for his dreadlocks. And now he's not a member of the Packers anymore. But recent news being coming from out of the tailgate tour a couple weeks ago, that Al Harris would be receiving his Super Bowl ring from the Packers. And deservedly so, I think. He was a member of the PUP list this past season. Actually practiced with the Packers. I mean, if you consider they give their, you know, they give a Super Bowl ring to players on the practice squad. You know, why not give it to a guy who is, you know, essentially a member of the practice squad for a couple weeks and on the PUP list before that, and, you know, a guy who, you know, was living in Green Bay, rehabbing, doing his best to be a member of the Green Bay Packers, and certainly, you know, a very large part of the building of this team in the Mike McCarthy, Ted Thompson era, even though he was a member of the Packers even before they came. But, you know, good to see. Good to see Al Harris getting a Super Bowl ring with the Green Bay Packers. I believe Mark Murphy acknowledging that, Packers president Mark Murphy acknowledging that on the tailgate tour at one of the stops. I forget what stop for sure. Was that Eau Claire? I don't remember. Speaking of Mark Murphy, currently occurring right now, the NFL's spring meetings. They always occur at the site of the upcoming Super Bowl, so they're in Indianapolis right now, and Mark Murphy is in attendance. And there's a report on the spring meetings from NFL.com and Albert Breer. If you click this link that says NFL Spring Meeting on Packers Daily Links, there's an article at NFL.com and a quote from Mark Murphy. If you scroll down, if I can go find it right here, they talked to him about, you know, what's preventing the NFL and the NFL Players Association from negotiating right now. Of course, they're not negotiating currently, as we currently speak. They're kind of just waiting for this June 3rd court date. And President Mark Murphy said, quote, "It's just timing. It's like a lot of negotiation. It takes a deadline. And when do we reach that? I guess each side has its own deadlines. I think at the end of the day, you hope that cooler heads will look at it and say, we need to resolve this and let's figure out something that works for everyone." You know, it's interesting. It seems like everybody says the right things in the media. You know, Mark Murphy and everybody, any NFL owner they talk to, any player they talk to, any PR rep, they all say the right things in the media. Like, they all acknowledge that, you know, they have to negotiate to get a deal done. That's going to be the only way they get a deal done, to negotiate. And, you know, negotiation, not litigation. But yet they don't negotiate. That's what bothers me a little bit. There's nothing preventing them right now from negotiating. I just don't see why not do that. Why not negotiate? They're waiting for this litigation to happen, so one of them has the upper hand when negotiations do occur post-litigation. Frustrating. I'll be fine if no games are missed. Once preseason games get missed, even if it's preseason, not regular season, I'm still going to be a little bit upset then, because that's going to be money income lost. You know, I mean, you can even make the argument that the Packers are going to be losing money if training camp is delayed at all, because they make so much money with people coming into Green Bay visiting training camp. But anyway, it's almost 8:30. Going to take a break here. When we come back, going to talk to Chad Toporski of allgreenbaypackers.com, talk about their site a little bit, and talk a little bit more about football. Hang on, folks. Give me a minute, and we will be right back.
This is James Jones, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Welcome back to Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. I'm Brian Kirvu, and joining me on the phone right now is Chad Toporski of allgreenbaypackers.com. Chad, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you, Brian?
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us. Chad, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do for a living, and how did you get involved in blogging at All Green Bay Packers?
I'll try to keep it a little short because I could probably go on forever. But right now I'm living in Pittsburgh, which was interesting during the Super Bowl.
No, I can imagine.
But, it was a good time, and I can't say enough that of the Steelers fans being good sports about everything, and I root for the Steelers as my number two team. So it was my dream Super Bowl come true. With the right outcome, of course. But I teach music right now in the public school system. I became a Packer fan, of course, because I was born in Milwaukee. My father's side of the family is all from there and still pretty much live there. So it's in my blood, born and raised a Packers fan. And, I grew up, I'm only 28, so I grew up, you know, in the 90s when when Favre was big, and of course that was a fun time to be a Packers fan, and it's only got more fun as the years have gone by. But I got into blogging not too long ago, probably just a couple of years actually. I you know, in high school and growing up, I was actually never really like deeply into sports. I never played sports. I was always in the marching band, which was my forte. But you know, in the past few years, I've started to get more involved and you know, actually know a little bit more about, you know, what the Packers are doing, especially in the off season and personnel and stuff like that. So, and as I became more involved, I started, you know, becoming more involved online and looking at blog sites, and came across Bleacher Report, which is where I initially started writing, mm-hmm. and then got to know Jersey Allen through that, and so he picked me up just this past season to write for his blog, which I was thrilled to do because I love his work and everything he puts on there, and it was actually through him that I found Cheesehead TV. And I got to say, I absolutely love your site. It's pretty much the first place I go every time I want to, you know, look for Packers information. So,
well, thank you. I mean, I feel the same way about all GreenBayPackers.com. That's, you know, aside from my own website, you know, that's, I like what all you guys do over there. Before the draft, you kind of worked on a series of articles examining the Packers' need by position. You know, yep. Before the draft, what did you see as the Packers' position, biggest position of need?
Well, quite frankly, I thought the biggest need, which they did address, was the wide receiver position. I just felt with all the uncertainties, you know, of course, Jones being a free agent, Swain actually being a free agent, Donald Driver getting older, and Jordy Nelson going into his last year of his contract, mm-hmm. you know, it really seemed like this was a position they needed to address at some point and at some level. And I think they did that, of course, with being able to get Cobb, which was, I thought, a great value. Other than that, you know, I wanted to see them maybe add some depth to the offensive line, find that tackle, which, of course, they did. And quite frankly, surprise to me was them picking up a couple tight ends. Mm-hmm. I didn't really see that as a huge need because of, you know, Crabtree, Finley, Corliss, and even Havner on the roster. But I think, you know, in hindsight, I think it's a good move because it does allow some flexibility for the offense, and it'll give them some more bodies for teams, which is, of course, always an area of concern when it comes to the Packers.
So now, post-draft then, I mean, what's the biggest remaining need now that they've added 10 new players to the team? Is there kind of one position of concern that the Packers should be, you know, perhaps this might be the one position that, you know, gives fans a little bit to worry about this season at all?
At this point, during the season, it'll probably change. But at this point, I think there's a slight concern with actually the kicker position with Mason Crosby. I know we just had reports about him wanting to come back to Green Bay, and you know, Green Bay obviously wants him to return mm-hmm. Because they do like what he does. And, you know, I like the guy, but of course, there's always an uncertainty. He's not signed. The Packers don't have any other kickers signed.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of, you know, such an important position. You're kind of wondering what's going to go on with that. Anything behind that, I would probably would be the defensive line. I was hoping they'd pick up someone a little bit earlier in the draft, but, you know, we'll see how guy pans out. It's just, you know, injury-wise and with such youth along the line, it'll be a little bit concerning until they actually get into the season.
Chad, you also wrote an article recently about Brett Favre and the topic of retiring his number. For those of us who haven't read it, can you give us a little bit of background information, a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Actually, I was you know, going through the internet, you know, news feeds, and I was on NFL.com, and I saw an article from Vic Ferrucci about how the Packers needed to retire Favre's number now. And he basically said if they don't do it this year, they should do it by the end of 2012. And to me, that was just absurd. I could tell he, you know, not in tune with Packers fans at all and the stuff he wrote. So I just pretty much wrote a response to that saying, you know, this takes time. You know, such a messy, quote-unquote, divorce isn't going to happen, you know, isn't going to be cleaned up and worked through in such a short period of time, especially since Favre is just coming off his second season with the Vikings. And quite frankly, too, I don't think the burden is on the side of the Packers organization to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at this point, they've pretty much ended the olive branch. They said, you know, we're going to do it. You know, the time frame, of course, we don't know what that's going to be, but we do have plans on doing it. So mm-hmm. I think right now it's on Brett Favre's shoulder to say, you know what, I realize what I did to the fans, you know, everything that went on. You know, even if he doesn't take all the blame for everything, which I don't think he should, he still needs to show some sign of, you know, coming back into the fold and being willing to admit what he did for his part in the whole situation.
We're talking to Chad Toporsky of allgreenbaypackers.com. And Chad, if you're Mark Murphy, if you are running the Green Bay Packers organization, when does this actually happen? Can you look into a crystal ball and predict when the Packers will actually retire his number?
Oh, I don't know if I want to give any hard and fast predictions, but, you know, Murphy did say in a few years. I think that's reasonable. Like I said, Favre's just coming off his retirement. I don't think it's going to happen this year.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what Favre does, I don't think it's going to happen next year. I'd say, you know, probably 5 years maximum. It could be a little bit longer, could be a little bit shorter, but it'll depend on how things play out between the organization and Favre.
I can see that. I'm just looking at the website right now. You wrote a post today. I haven't even had a chance to read it yet, titled, Will You Recognize the Packers Offense in 2011? So tell me, Chad, will I recognize the Packers offense in 2011?
Short response is you can read the article and find out, but the real response is, you'll recognize it, but there are going to be some differences. I think there are going to be some changes with, especially with regard to personnel. I think, or at least I hope, and I think that the short yardage ground game will improve, both ground game and air game, but the short yardage game will improve. They've got some more depth and quality at the tight end position. They've got both Grant and Starks coming back healthy as of right now. And so I think, you know, and depending on who slips in at left guard, even if, you know, Sherrod ends up coming in at left tackle too, you know, I think we might have some more push on the offensive line in regards to the running game. So I think we'll see a little bit of changes. And I even think, you know, with guys like Randall Cobb and Alex Green and stuff, we might see some of a little bit more of those trick plays here and there. We saw a little bit of it last season, not a whole lot, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, thinking more along the lines of what Bill Cowher did with Randall Elbaugh a few years ago with the Steelers.
Okay.
You know, just every so often, you know, throwing in that reverse or that option, you know, that running back option to throw. So
that would be a different little wrinkle for the Packers. Chad, thanks so much for joining us today. I'll let you get back to work, and thanks for talking some football.
Oh, thanks for having me. I certainly appreciate it. And keep up the good work.
Thank you. See you later.
Bye.
Chad Toporsky of allgreenbaypackers.com joining us here on Railbird Central. Like I said, just the tip of the iceberg here. Over the next couple episodes, we're going to be joined by other writers from allgreenbaypackers.com, in addition to in the future, bloggers from across the Packers blogosphere. If you're a blogger and you're watching the show and I haven't contacted you yet, be patient. I'm going to try to get to everyone eventually, but a lot of Packer blogs out there, so I'll be you know, it might take a couple episodes, but I'm going to try to get to as many as I can. So, new wrinkles in the offense for the Packers. Trick plays. You know, the one trick play that sticks out in my mind, and the Packers, you know, they don't run any trick plays. I mean, even something as simple as a wide receiver reverse, that's kind of like the the simplest of all trick plays, but they didn't even hardly do that this past season. Wasn't very often that you saw Greg Jennings or Donald Driver get a carry, a rushing attempt. The one that sticks out in my mind is the fake field goal. Did they do that against the Vikings, was it? It was mid-season, I remember, and the details are hazy in my mind right now. But Matt Flynn was the holder at the time, I believe. And he threw a fake field goal pass to Andrew Corliss, if I'm correct, who was on the protection unit. I think it was against the Vikings, but I remember it fell incomplete, was not completed. That's special teams. That's not has anything to do with the offense. As we see the Packers adding some new weapons on offense here this year through the draft with Randall Cobb and Alex Green. So a little more firepower to the offense this season. I had recently shared this little tidbit here for the Maple Street Press Packers Annual. I'm getting ready, putting together our season preview magazine right now. And I happened to interview former Packers running back and running backs coach as well, Harry Sidney, who currently is a radio analyst in the Green Bay area. And he said, look forward to perhaps two running backs in the backfield at the same time. Have I said this already? Have I mentioned this? Hilbert Central before? I forget what I talk about sometimes, but kind of an interesting thought, perhaps having like Ryan Grant and James Starks in the backfield at the same time. Just an intriguing possibility. Whether that comes to fruition or not, I don't know. There's something that speaks to me about putting the best talent on the field all at the same time. And that seems like it would be a good utilization of the talent to get them out there, your two best running backs. If you have any thoughts on the Green Bay Packers, on the offense, on the draft choices, on anything, feel free to call in. The phone number, the line is open. Area code 646-797-2909. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on anything related to the Green Bay Packers here this morning on Real Bird Central. Try to catch up with the live blog again. Since the break, I haven't taken a look at it here. Sarge Stanley says, do you think that Randall Cobb may finish the season with a higher passer rating than Matt Flynn? Interesting. Oh, we do have a phone call too, so let me take this. Hello, you're on Railbird Central. Who do we have joining us?
That's the number I call. It's Alex. Good morning,
Brian. Good morning. I should have known when I saw the 715 area code, I put two and two together.
Firstly, the reason you're wondering if you talked about running backs lately in the tandem in the backfield is because the last time I called, that's what we talked about, a la the New York Giants. It's a
yes.
Great idea, and they should do it.
That's correct. That's correct.
Is a great idea. Anyway, I want to talk to Nick Barnett today, if you don't mind.
By all means.
I'm slowly jumping off the Nick Barnett bandwagon.
Okay.
For a few reasons. And this is kind of a dual subject, too, because I think a lot of players, such as Nick Barnett, and maybe just Nick Barnett, are starting to use the term Super Bowl champion a little bit loosely, and I think that it needs to be defined, to be honest with you. The other day or yesterday, I think it was on Twitter, he was, something must have happened with this hotel in New York City, and anyway, he remarked, hey, we get a hotel room for a Super Bowl champion here, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Which is fine and good, and technically he has a ring, but dude, you didn't play in the Super Bowl. In fact, you didn't even really help the team get to the Super Bowl, for all I know, unless you did something that no one's talking about. You know, this goes to several players, but, you know, Barnett seems to be taking it a little bit farther, and I just, you know, I think they're using the term too loosely, and, you know, I'm offended, and I'm kind of jumping off the Barnett bandwagon. I was a real big supporter. I thought he'd be a great backup or, you know, starter here in Green Bay, if he was healthy, of course. And just lately, everything he's been saying and doing, I don't see him as a good fit anymore. And much that kills me to say it, I just don't think the dude's good for Green Bay right now.
So, do you not feel the same way about other players who may use that? A player like A.J. Hogg, it would be okay for him to say he's a Super Bowl champion, but not Nick Barnett?
Well, I think everyone can say they're a Super Bowl champion, but when you start to use it to your advantage, I mean, if you're Michael Vandy, he might be outspoken and everything, but you never see the dude throwing around his weight saying, when I get a restaurant for a Super Bowl champion, or hey, I'm a Super Bowl, he's talking about working, getting back next year, and getting himself in the game. You know, Nick Barnett's not doing that. He's taking that ring, feels he deserves it, and, you know, maybe he does for being a lifelong Packer, but, dude, you didn't help get to the Super Bowl this year. And I don't think you can throw that around, at least not for me.
So the issue is that he's kind of using it to his advantage, not necessarily that it's okay for him to say that he is a Super Bowl champion because he was part of the team, but just kind of, you know, I don't know.
And it's not even, you know, I'm thinking about him playing for the Packers as we're talking about this. You know, You want what I'd like to be hearing from Barnett right now is, hey, I can't wait to get back on that field so I can this year and help the team win another Super Bowl. And you're not hearing any of that. You know, that maybe I'm missing it, but, you know, you're hearing I'm a Super Bowl champion, and you're not hearing, hey, I want to play, help this team. I don't care what it does, what I have to do it. Let's get back out there so I can get a legit ring. I don't know. Maybe I'm out of bounds. Maybe I'm losing my mind, but that's my beef for the day.
You know, it's a tough situation, obviously. I mean, Mike McCarthy has come out and said A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop will be the starters, and here you've got not only Nick Barnett, but you've got Brandon Chiller as well as highly paid backups, and you don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to trade him? Can they even trade him because of this crazy offseason, things like that? I mean, look into the crystal ball for a second, Alex. What does the future hold with Nick Barnett? You know, I mean, if we had to make a decision right now, is he going to be part of the team, or is he going to be traded, or is he going to be cut, or what's his future hold?
If they can trade him, they're going to trade him, I think. I'm with Jason Wilde on this one. And otherwise, they're going to cut him. I just really think that he is, whether he's done it on purpose or not, he's really strategically starting to talk his way out of town. You know, no matter what he says. And that's the way I perceive it.
Yeah.
I don't see him being gone. I mean, I haven't heard Brandon Chiller really say anything. I think Ted Thompson would prefer that in the locker room.
Yeah.
So I guess they see what they can get, you know. Maybe if they can't get much, they stick it around if he'll sign for a friendly contract. But, you know, you got to see him taken when they can get it right now. He's just not turning out to be the same guy.
Alex, thanks for calling. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime. Sorry to ramble your ear off, Brian. Great show. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. See ya. Alex Talich of the Packers Lounge. I kind of feel the same way. I used to be a Nick Barnett supporter. I felt real bad about his club 5-6 and how it lost its liquor license because, you know, from the reports I read, I do feel like there was this racial sentiment to it from the people that wanted to prevent him getting a liquor license. You know, I know this is a touchy subject and I know not everyone may agree with it. But, you know, I suppose even if you didn't live in the Green Bay area, you perhaps might not have gotten quite the coverage of this story that, you know, people living elsewhere. But, you know, at the time I lived in Green Bay and, you know, this story was on the local news, you know, quite frequently. And of course, the local newspapers as well. And, you know, I saw statistics showing that, you know, of course, there were troubles at Club 5-6, as there are with any bar establishment in the entire United States, a place where you serve liquor. You're going to have problems once in a while. You're going to be having people getting liquored up and doing things they shouldn't be. But I guess I saw statistics saying that the problems at Club 5-6 were no more so than any other bar establishment in the area, you know, in terms of how many calls to the police or things like that. It just didn't happen more than any other place. And so, you know, I think there kind of was this racial stereotype a little bit. You know, obviously his establishment catering a little bit to the minority community, the sparse minority community in Green Bay, as there's not a huge one. But anyway, so I felt real bad for Nick Barnett about that. But, I mean, and we've talked about this about Barnett before, you know, what was this, 2-3 years ago now, he has an incident with a woman, I believe, at another bar in Appleton, was it? He threw a drink at her, you know, just not using his head, not that he did anything, you know, deserving probably to put him in jail or anything like that, but, you know, just not a smart choice by any means. And, you know, then this whole, you know, during the Super Bowl, he creates this whole stir about not being part of the picture. And, you know, it's just little things that are added up with Nick Barnett. And perhaps he is on his way out. I don't know. You know, I wish he'd do well. He's also had a hard time staying healthy as of late. You know, are the cards stacked against him? Perhaps they are. It's just about 9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us today, everyone. We're going to wrap her up here on Railbird Central. Thanks again to Chad Toporsky of AllGreenBayPackers.com for joining us. Thanks for Alex Talich for calling in and our moderator extraordinaire, Jamie Jors. Once again, approving your comments. Thank you, Jamie. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back on Friday on Railbird Central. I believe that's Al's day. Al Bracco will be joining us on Friday. So stay tuned. See you then. Talk to you later. Thanks.